Ela tem na nossa opção. Meu pai, in the first two chapters, what I'm preaching to talk about. That's what I want to talk about, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I picked up my own Bible, and that part was 4 hours and gone. I'm not just kidding, you see that? Sixth verse of the first chapter of Job. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence come up thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and hasteth to do evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said to Job, "Fear God for naught. Thou hast not made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand now, because all that he hath, he'll curse thee to thy face." The Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a message unto Job and said, "The oxen were fat, the ass is feeding beside them." Satan fell upon them and took them away. He had slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep, the servants, and them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and had carried them away, yea, and slain the servants to the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men. They are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence cometh thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and is true of evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He'll curse thee to thy face." The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life." Amen. Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore balls from the sole of his foot unto his crown. He took him a potsherd in his to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all of this did not Job sin with his lips. With those sayings as a basis of what God wants me to say to you, let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we are conscious of the responsibility that hangs upon us right now. We pray that you'll loose our tongue and illuminate our minds to give us holy unction. And dear God, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll call us, if it were, pack him over this place. Make our demonic spirit move back out. And give God free reins of the whole business. That the Holy Spirit shall do what he wants to do on these grounds and these days. Dear God, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless every preacher that's here, bless every church that's represented here. May these days be days that will challenge and move us and call us to the things you want us to do. And we'll be grateful to you, Father, because it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about demon-infested America. We have here a very interesting story. The sons of God, not the sons of the devil, but the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And God said to Satan, what are you doing here? He said, going to and fro, walking up and down in the land. Seeking, of course, whom he might devour, because the devil's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's in the devouring business. He's hunting whom he can devour and destroy and defeat and discourage and mess up. He's in that business. And then in the second chapter, it says that the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord to worship, and Satan presented himself before the Lord. God said, what are you doing here, Satan? Said, from going to and fro, walking up and down in the land. He's caught seeking whom he can devour. And God said, well, if you consider my servant Job, you after somebody, consider him, will you? And he said, oh, yes, I've considered him. But your blessing has no other man's probably ever been blessed. Look at all of the property, look at all of the family, look at all of the cattle and sheep. All of those things you blessed him with. Who wouldn't serve you with all of that? Being caught out of bond, he's just serving you for what you can get out of him. God says you can take it all away from him, he's still serving. The devil says, you got a head built around and I can't get through it. Thank God for the head. You remember how that God permitted the devil and went in and all Job had, all of his cattle, all of his sheep, all of his cattle, all of his animals were killed. His servants were killed. Then the devil turned around and killed his family. And old Job stood out there, rent his clothes, shaved his head, said, the Lord give him. The Lord take us. Blessed be the holy name of God. The devil come back and God said, what do you think about him now? He said he's still healthy. He figures he can make his wealth back and get a family's hand. Let me have it. Now I'm causing the curse you to your face. God said, all right, all of it's his, yours, except his life. If you leave his life alone, it's been entrusted to me. You talk about eternal security, that's one of the best verses. You get everything he's got, you can get his coffin, but you don't get his life. That's mine. And you remember how then that he went out there as a result of the tea, afflicted Job from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Were boils, sores, painful sores, fever sores, neither Cain rubbed all over. He had so many boils, so many sores, he couldn't sit out on nothing solid. He went out and sat out in a soft pile of ashes and got a potsherd and scraped those cores out of the sores. The devil got in Job's wife, and she slipped up and said, all of this happened to us, you still waiting, God? Why don't you curse God and die and get it over with? Job said, you talk like a fool.
Amen.
Then Job's friend come and said, Job, do you not realize what's going on? Your family's all dead. Your wife's against you. Everything's against you. You've lost everything you had, boy. He said, well, I don't know all about it, but one thing I know, my Redeemer's with him. He hadn't killed him yet. He hadn't gone out of business yet. I still have him. And regardless of what this world of devils crowd do to us, brother, we still got him. They're not going to put him out of business. In a world of confusion, folks don't know why they come from monkeys, baboons, or apes or not. He said, I know from whence I come and where I go. I said, let me go with you then. I'll tell them that I'm going to try something. I've been going to him ever since. He knows where he's at, where he's going, and he'll know when he gets that. I'm standing with Jesus. And as a result, his friend said, I just curse God and die. Curse God and die. If a man dies, shall he live again? He said, an old stump, when you cut the tree down and get a little smell of water, it'll sprout and live again. Yeah, I'll have to live again and praise God. Yay, won't God just slay me? While you're slaying me, I'm still standing with you.
God made him sick, but he didn't come to church.
let them be 6 feet and have enough love to move.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the weather's providence. You mean God sent that weather to keep you from going to church? I don't believe a word.
Amen.
So my friends, I want you to know the devil's act. And he's scoring, my friends, the old lion is out of the thicket. Some of you remember a few years back, I preached a sermon on the lion has come out of the thicket. He's on the way to destroy the Gentiles. And I showed you how through the biblical years, the historical years, he's destroyed every nation that's forgot God. He don't have to destroy a nation. All he's got to do is get this nation to forget God. And God said, if a nation forgets God, it shall perish. And all the old devil's got to do is get us to forget God and sit down and watch us perish or make God a liar. And God ain't going to lie to save our house. They can forsake the Lord and shall be cast off forever. Now the devil's a stronger believer in what God says than a lot of you are. He flees and trembles in the presence of God. That's more than some of you do. So as a result, my friends, he's just in this country now, the devil is infiltrating into America. We live in a demon-infested America. Where's all your dope coming from? Where's all your sex perversion coming from? Where's all the robbing and the murdering and the raping and the killing and the murdering of innocent babies and all of that? Where's that coming from, friend? It's not coming from God.
Yes, amen.
I want you to realize, my friend, the demons, my friend, just like geese or some migrating bird or something. You see, the geese leave the northern waters and fly to the Gulf Shore, down to the Gulf, and then fly back when the weather changes. Birds migrate. Fish migrate. But I want you to know demons are migrating. As they come to America, we live in a demon-infested America today. And as we face it, my friends, let's look at it. They migrate. Now you talk to people like Dr. Cuthbert from this Bertha Smith and a group of the old missionaries, and they'll tell you how infested the old heathen countries were with demons. And they give you some experiences they've had with demons to make no flesh run cold. And they talk about, we'll talk to you, more modern missionaries who are over there now. They're not having problems with demons that we're having. They've come from over there and migrated over here and are hibernating in America. Brother, they've come out. They've moved in. Demonic forces have migrated into America to take this country, because this is the last stronghold for God. You see, as a result, my friends, the Jews rejected Jesus, returned to the Gentiles. And now that the devil wants us to reject them, there's nobody else for him to turn to. You better think about it. So as a result, he's turned in all his got. And they've come and migrated to America. Listen to me. Some of the greatest gospel hymns, I'm not talking about these hip-hop, heel-doodle things. I'm talking about real inspirational hymns that move people's hearts, stir people's souls, challenge people to look toward God, move their emotions, warm their hearts, challenge them like there is something filled with blood. Amazing grace, how firm a foundation, near to the cross and near to the heart of God. Draw me near some of the great hymns, some of the greatest inspirational hymns that's ever come to before your eyes and been put in your hymn books come from England. I mean the great soul-stirring, heart-changing, powerful songs, hymns came from England. English writers produced them under the inspiration of God. And our very forefathers was moved in the heart with those hymns. Moved in their souls with those hymns. moved in the churches and sat and hummed them and sang them and rejoiced and weep over them. So as a result, the devil never was satisfied, because those men of inspiration from God gave to America her great hymn-changing age. He's been mad ever since. So he sent, my friends, the Beatles from him to destroy what our forefathers got from him. Great gospel hymn. And he's been mad ever since. And he sets a bunch of Beatles over here to give you rough music, and to give you honky-tonk music, and fresh music, and all that stuff.
That's right.
And the Beatles moved in.
Amen.
And America fell for it. My friends, the Beatles come over here, give you all your rock music, give you all your hip-hop music, and gave you all the stuff to destroy the mean and the great gospel hymn. And they went to the beaches and led a generation to forget God and to leave God out and to turn their backs upon God. And as a result, my friends, when they left here, they left their demons over here. They conveyed them over here. They brought them as they come, they brought them. And when they went back, they had them. And we've got the demons.
Amen.
They left them here.
Amen.
And they began their action. And so I want you to see, my friends, some things. All of the influence that they've left upon this country. All of the long-haired boys and men. Yeah. Barefoot and slouchy, stinking like a goat. Where'd that come from? It didn't come from God or God's way of life. It comes from the field.
Amen.
There's a division for this nation. And the men of this country, the boys of this country, fell for that stuff. It stood the cause of dignity. Or that it honors God or man of the book. They did it. They stay in the passion and the excitement of the Beatle bunch. Are you listening to this preacher? My friends, I want you to see some things. As a result, a lot of them have said, I'm being like Jesus. You all are.
Amen.
Jesus never did have long hair, thank you. He said, well, all the pigs. Roman Catholicism, hey,
yeah.
All the pictures you see of Jesus paint him as a little dainty, softy, tender cowboy. Jesus was a he-man. He never lashed and whipped them and kicked the tables over, let's go. He walked in the top of the shop. He wasn't some little dainty, sissy. The manly man that ever walked on the face of God, earth, is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I want you to realize that.
Yeah.
He wasn't in his little city, somebody.
Yeah.
And they didn't wear long hair. He said, you say he's a Nazarite. No, he wasn't. He's a Nazarene.
Yeah.
Now, we got two Nazarites in the Bible, Samson and Samuel. God said, if he's a Nazarite, you couldn't eat the fruit of the vine. Jesus ate the fruit of the vine and drank the wine. That disqualified him. He took some dead bodies and they got up. And a Nazarite couldn't come to dead bodies. So you quit drinking strong drink. And then you quit going to funerals, don't holler. You a cop in Jesus. By being a Nazarite. Now, let's face the truth. I want you to realize, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, that the devil's pulling a bunch of stuff over a bunch of people's eyes.
Amen.
And as a result, my friends, the scripture says it's a shame for men to wear a long hat.
Amen.
It's in that. God put it in that, I won't weaken.
Amen.
Now then, as a result, a lot of fellas run around trying to wear high heels like women, paint their face, and start to wear jewelry like women, and long hair. Medical science tells us now, I noticed in the medical magazine back in May of this year that a lot of long hair wearing men and boys are beginning to have a white mucus from their breath. You won't be so much like a woman, God's going to let you give some milk. The medical magazine in September says now that men are beginning to have breast cancer who are wearing long hair. Long hair wearing men that's having breast cancer. Who are you folks doing that? You ought to get up, eat up a cancer, and get them. Go ahead and wear your high heels.
Now you watch it. Man got cursed, the serpent got cursed, and then
through the intellectual centers of the country, the devil's doing his work. Where does all of your sinful stuff start? In intellectual centers. All of your heresies start being taught in religious institutions. All the questionable things that question God and science and things of God starts in the universities. Where do all your streaking start? Universities and college campus. Not back out from the grassroots parts of the country. But in the intellectual centers was where they started streaking. Going naked. A lot of psychologists said they just are trying to invent that this all the world is full of demons. So it's a lot of them. Demon infested. So as a result, you just watch the thing. Then God turns around and curses the slave. Then the intellectual centers begin to try to tell us there's your sons and daughters that we sprang from lusty. By whom? What they want to put it on the poor innocent ones for? Why don't they bring us some snakes? Snake was the most beautiful creature, the highest of the subtle of the field. Why didn't they get us out of the snake instead of the monkey? I had one of those evolutionists come to me the other day and said, I said, you're Christians, said, no, I'm an evolution. I said, what's that? He said, I believe in these ancestors. I said, Susan, I don't fool about it because your mama's a baboon, your papa is.
Oh, no.
Another one of them carried the hospital the other day, called for some men to come and give some blood. Said, could you get somebody to give some blood? I said, no, go catch a bunch of monkeys and pump their blood. Get some of the original stock, it'll be better than some of these fellows that get people. They have never been able to explain to me yet why everything's born with its clothes on except a human being. Everything is born in this world got clothes on except a human being. Why did we come with ours on? Sure would save a lot of clothes, Bill. Let that question prove that. Prove it if they can. And my great, all of the evolution theory of all the things, improving and elevation, hadn't helped us any. But men still continue to kill and murder and rape and lie and steal and cheat and swindle and beat. But now you watch it. We're going through some things terribly, so follow me closer. Are you watching? Where, my friends, did the devil strike? In your educational system. Said, put the Bible out of the school. Stop hurting the school. Stop having devotions in school. Intellectual centers. As a result, my friends, they figured if they could educate a generation without God, they had it made. An educated generation without God in it is like that in the auction for the slaughter pen. After all, we're in three parts. Three joints, three parts of the eye, three parts of the brain, three parts of the body, flesh, blood, and bone, three parts of everything God ever created. We're physical, spiritual and mental. One third of your eyes gone, the other two thirds no good. One third of your body gone, the other two thirds no good. One third of your brain gone, the other two thirds no good. One third of your heart gone, the other two thirds no good. My friends, if they can save the devil knows that he can get two thirds of man without the other third in him, he's got him defeated, destroyed, and divided. But our God, man's headed to the slaughter pens of sin. So as a result, they throw God's word out, they kick God's book out of our schools, and on the heels of that, they put in physical air. And in your physical air classes, they're teaching sex, That's the main thing about the physical edge that's taking place of the teaching of God's word, devotional parents. The educational system is pushed God out. Well, the devil's got the Bible out, he's got devotions out, he's got prayer out, and he's educating a generation without God. He knows he'll drag them to hell and throw them in the pits of sin. You see what he's been doing? He's here in America. The Beatles brought him over here, one order on us, and we're in the midst of them. And as a result, educational systems of America, and you listen, some of it from West Virginia. We saw in the paper the terrible things he's trying to teach your sons and daughters, and they're trying to teach it in other places. There's some places in America now where they let the high school boys and girls go together naked for one kid so they won't wonder about each other. Yes, that's in America. And as we face it, my friend, you look at it. The devil is destroying this young generation. He's after them. Now watch. The education system shoves it out. Now then, the recreational system in America is turned over to sex and flesh and to the honky-tonks and to the places of rock festivals, drinking, sexing, and all sorts of solid doping, and all of that. Your recreational facilities, my beloved, has been converted to the efforts of the satanic forces of America. We used to have some great drums and great plays, but no longer. A bunch of wild stuff to appeal to the flesh and to the low nature of humanity.
That's right.
Your recreational places are filled with that which appeals to the sex and the nakedness and the desires of the place of the generation of the day. The devil's got the recreational places. He's got the educational business got pushed out of that. Now then, he's in the literary world, great novels and great fictions. No longer popular. But a bunch of sentimental slush, untruth, fiction, untruth, novels, and showing forth the sex side, the immoral side. This literary world is becoming filled with pornographic books, sex books, and all of that mess that degenerates and degenerates and drives man from God and drawing away, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Then on the top of that, ladies and gentlemen, I had to realize something else. The educational system, the recreational system, the literary world, filling this country with a bunch of sex magazines and pornography, books and all of that stuff, and sentimental novels and sentimental fiction of immorality, and the purpose of it is to let the generation eat out our hearts like pastors would eat us up. So as a result, there it is. Then on the top of that, the artistic designing of America today, her gracious has ceased to produce great masterpieces. My friends, look at the art of the day. Look in your magazines. Look in your art places. What is to get sexiness? Forget God. Forget morals. There, the majority, not all, but the majority of pieces of art today in the thing of the world that all defeat Christianity and God. Just look at it. You think I'm telling you something? Go and look at the present day art, the modern day art. What's it saying? Sex, no God, physical, no God.
Amen.
And I think there it is. So as a result, he's got that. Now that educational, he's hit the intellectual centers, and a lot of our religious institutions are teaching stuff of a seducing spirit and leading the religious leaders astray. And our actual public education has thrown God out. The literary world's pushed it out. And the artistic design of the world and then the legislative bodies of America have been took over by him. The majority. No, I repeat, the majority. Not all, thank God, but the majority of your legislative bodies in your state mind, in your United States, not a thing of word but a bunch of blown-out, pug-nosed, bottle-sucking women facing corporate players, gambling, grand drinking, hey, what's the difference? Such things that Senator Mills from Arkansas, such things that Edward Kennedy, that not any good with that poor innocent mother and drowning her in a baby and covered up. That's some of the legislative bodies. Now I want you to know, you say, preacher, you better be careful. I am.
Amen.
I know where I'm at.
Amen.
I'm not lost in the fog and I'm not scared.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I know what a bunch of them are. If you be honest, you know what to do. Now, if you got it, why the war again? The devil got in and almost wrecked. The devil got control of the Supreme Court of the United States, and they let one woman make them put the Bible in prayer out of school. You know what she said? She never died satisfied till she seen every Baptist preacher in America hanging to a limb by the guts. They didn't quit preaching God. Well, they ain't hanging me to a limb with my guts before I'll shut up.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. That bunch of bad guts turned around and did away with capital punishment. As a result, human life is the cheapest sin. You can get him quicker for killing an old dog than you will a human life. My friend, murder. Those law and law enforcing laws just never know whether they get back home when the glass of criminals in them. All that crowd, my friends, is moving in drought cities and in our countryside, threatening lives of innocent people, murdering families to get what little they got, and they won't even get in jail. You say, oh, preacher, you think that the Bible teaches capital punishment, it's full of. God requires when men get back home, they die. My friends, we have licensed murder and rape and kidnapping America. Life is dangerous. The devil's took over from the law enforcement office. They take somebody's gun, kill you, they'll turn them loose. Take somebody for raping your daughter, they'll turn them loose. You know what I'm talking about. Just like up there in Franklin County, that dirty bunch of criminals now trying to kill a sheriff. And the man went in to investigate, put a bomb in his house, tried to kill him and threatened to kill his wife and his children. And took the kids' rabbits out and pinned their ears on a clothesline. Said, we'll do you this way. That's demon-infested America.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, 10 years ago, they even got Bible out of them.
That's right.
You know what I was talking about. That bunch that ever got the Supreme Court to legalize the crime syndicates of this country and to take away capital punishment to make life cheap so he can wreck this nation. He's out after us. And the legislative bodies and a lot of people are blaming poor Brother Kennedy. I mean, Nixon. I know, like one preacher said here, while Nixon had his mistakes, but I'll tell you one thing. He's the only one that ever tried to have much religious services in Hawaii. He had priorities. He wanted to write. My friends, he went in there with such a mess and inherited. Now you listen, the Democrats pushing and cussing. And I'm not shooting at the Democrats. I'm assaulting them. But here, listen to me. They wouldn't want a man they could elect. They ain't even a fair man in there. That's the reason they run who they run, and you would never be elected. They won't put a Republican in there so they can put you.
Yeah.
From Kennedy on down to Johnson, the thing got rotten and rotten, and they knew she's so rotten she's gonna blow up, swell up and bust on, and they didn't want one of theirs in, they wanted to bring it on somebody else like me and see it soon. I'll tell you one thing, and I don't even let it, I'm just not saying, I won't have it. Nixon a letter. I said, if you'll come clean with everything and get on the radio and start a course in there, if you can produce the greatest revival this country's ever had. See, I said, I'm going to come out of it. I'm sufficient for that. I wish you would get right. And tell you, I'll ask for a whole bunch of them. Now, his friend, he was working over the state. And a lot of other folks and millionaire folks that he can get in there next. Shame. The devil went in our White House, our legislative halls. The devil moved in and he's wrecking our government. He's causing America lose confidence in our government. That devil is a bunch of colonism, but most of it's devilism. And you see it, my friends. You say, well, preacher, I won't preach like that. That's the reason God didn't call you. He wanted one brother for the cow. He said, you won't preach like that up there. Give me a chance. Lock them up. Let me have an hour and see what they hear. We're making proof for that. God said all these things. They say this other thing. The seducing spirits and the demons have moved in.
Yeah.
Look, they've got it all. Except one thing. And that's the New Testament church is going to preach it.
Oh!
trouble. You know, this is some loose word of a preacher. You know, this is old man. I've seen all these sinless perfection movements. I've seen all these religious movements. I've seen them come and go and die. In 5 and 6 and 7, not over 10 years, you can't find none of their followers. Brother, the church is still preaching. I don't think I listen to the devil has come to get us. You hear? He's got everything else. Soda, city. The whole thing is a bunch of God-fearing, God-loving preachers and Christian people. And our New Testament church. He hasn't got it yet. But he's out. Listen, not a week passes now that we don't get letters here at Camp Zion, where in fact this church asks us to pray for churches that are about to close their doors. Some of them been in existence 100 years. Just recently, a lady less than 100 miles here, she used to have a strong church called the Turner's. Son, just a passion. And she wrote and said, pray. Our churches are dead, my children don't need more to go. But they had a preacher recently who preached it. Heaven would be full of the people's calves and cats and dogs. You just can't realize what's going on. They come into our church, and the people come to worship, and Satan came also. He's got everything else. And all he's got to do is get in our churches and shut us up. And God, he's got it. If he can get our churches, he's got us. The only thing the devil hasn't got is the New Testament churches and God-fearing preachers and laymen and dear women of God that are steady. I say that's all the thing he hasn't got. But there's more confusion and division and strife. And Jesus said in his word that where there's division and confusion and strife, that's deadly and earthly and sensual. So he done told us what it is. You've never had so much confusion and bickering and mentioning your church in all your life, brethren. And the reason is the devil's coming in, trying to get us. You say, the devil come in and get us? Yeah, he can. He said, the devil can't get the Christians. He got David, didn't he? He got Samson, didn't he? He's got a lot of other folks. He got Peter, David, and stomped his foot and say he didn't even know them. Don't say he can't get in. My friends, I've seen it over and over. There was a man that came to this camp a few years ago, and then he got off in this religious movement, got to talking tongues, and did the sanctified, and got the power that he could heal folks' teeth. He had a tap that he could put coal in it or civil water if you want. And he didn't really go around healing people's teeth. But he's run out of America by getting messed up with a 16-year-old girl. Leaping his wife. And I went to hold a meeting in the church that he left, and it was a Baptist church. He took off in that stuff. And while I was there, there's so many demons just like that hanging off the kitchen. And as a result, one of the ladies confessed before the meeting's over, she'd had 56 or more relationships with him while he was back. Say, he told her she's full of Holy Ghost, he's full of Holy Ghost, and it wouldn't be sin for them to have a relationship. Two more women confess the same thing. Then when I got the preacher and poured the word of God to him, one of the women come down the aisle with a big old hurt pale Bible, you know, one of these blue bird family Bible, man. Her husband sitting on the front seat. Well, I seen her coming, I told her, well, I preach her conviction. She come down the aisle, walk around in front of her husband, put that old hurt pale Bible, watching on his head. Grab his ears and try and pull them all straight in the face, kick them on the shin, and turn around and look at me. I didn't say nothing, but I got my hands on the book that's down there. I said to myself, oh, yeah, if you come here, I'll hang this thing over.
He set out to stop the people from the churches